And we were going to do a shooting that night, me and my homeboys. We had already had the guns, the stolen car, and all of that. My homeboys, they're waiting for me to get off of work, and we were going to go do another shooting. So I'm right there at work, and then my older boss, I'm working with some older Christian man, and he was an ex-gang member too. So as I'm right there working, I was a painter. He were painting, and he's sharing the gospel with me. In my whole life, I was raised Catholic and all that, right? I never heard it the way he was telling me. And he was just sharing the gospel of Jesus, everything. So I'm listening to him. I heard what he was saying. So I was right there. I thought about what he was saying. And then so I prayed, but I didn't know how to pray. I just said, God, help me to change. And then sure enough, as soon as I got off of work, we did the shooting, boom, 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 boom.
Atención, campeón. Esto es Consejo de Varón, un podcast de nivel global. Cada semana te traemos invitados, historias y mensajes para crear cambios radicales en tu vida. Este podcast está estratégicamente diseñado para acelerar un cambio e impulsarte al siguiente nivel. Para ofrecer lo mejor a tu familia, tienes que primero tú ser lo mejor. El poder para este cambio que buscas es el mismo poder que te diseñó, el poder de Dios. Y este poder está en ti.
Hi, and welcome to Consejo de Varón. I am Oscar Armendariz, founder and your host. This is the first time, if this is your first time listening to Consejo de Varón, welcome. In this podcast, we talk about everything related to masculinity and being a real man, a better man. We talk about leadership, finances, and health. This is a Spanish podcast, but today we have a special message for everybody. So we're going to have this podcast in English. But this may not be the last one. I have several people been asking for the English version of this podcast, so stay tuned. We may roll some more English podcasts in the future. I'll let you guys know on that some more later. And as you know, my main message for this podcast is to become a better person, a better man, and that is basically founded in three fundamental principles: in having a purpose, first of all. In my case, you know, that's God. Then self improvement. What are the things you can do to improve yourself and then to leave a legacy? What are the things you're doing to leave a legacy behind your name, behind your person? So when it comes to self-improvement, there is no better way to do that than surrendering yourself to Jesus Christ. And our guest today, Jesse Olguin, did a 180-degree turn and went from prison to starting his own very own movement and becoming an activist. And we'll hear more about his story in a little bit. But before we do that, let's go to our sponsor. And our sponsor, as you know, if you've been following me, I have lost, you know, over 50 pounds on the past, well, been 2 years now, I guess. But lately, I've been losing a lot more weight and my energy level has been skyrocketing. And this is all thanks to Sarit from Sure Weight Loss. She's been working with me, working with my diet, working with my needs. And she's been helping me achieve all my goals to lose weight. And I'm very thankful for her work with me. So if you are interested on improving your health and losing some weight along the way, give her a call at 305-986-4777. Again, that's 305-986-4777. Or visit her website at sureweightloss.com. And as usual, I will leave all the description on the information below. Okay, so my guest today, Jesse. Jesse, it's a real pleasure to meet you, a real pleasure to have you on my show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, brother. Thanks for having me on from all the way out there in Alabama. I don't know if I ever talked to anybody out that way.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Latinos out here. And then, of course, joining us too, Stephen Jills, my co-host, all the way from Colombia. Stephen, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Very different to do this in English.
I know. This is your native language, so it should be easier on you this time.
I know, but so much time in Colombia, I've been thinking in Spanish recently, so I'm having to think in English now again.
Yeah, we're going to mess you up a little bit, but you'll be fine. Just go with what you know already. So, yep. Jesse, when I found out about you, you know, I found out about you through PragerU. Actually, since I found out about PragerU, I've been kind of like sponsoring them a little bit. I put the links to their website and their app on my shows. So people can reach out to them. They're a nonprofit, and I really love what they're doing, because they're trying to reach out not only to the Latino community, and obviously they do have a special focus on that because they have a show for that where I saw you, your interview, and I find out about your testimony there. But they have a push for real history, what America is really all about, not what, you know, some people are pushing on us right now, which is not true, what, you know, what this country was founded on. So I really enjoy their message, and I downloaded their website or their application on our tablets and phones, and I put it on for my little girls so they can learn about some true history. And while I was doing that, I found out about you. So I reached out to you. So thank you for accepting the invitation to be on my show. And I just want to hear about your testimony, man. I already heard your testimony through there, but I want to hear it now. So just tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? And just let's get to know you.
Yeah, my name is Jesse Hokeen. I'm the founder of Lexit, the Lexit Movement. And Lexit's been around for about 4 years now. We've been blessed ever since we started. It just took off like Lexit. We just started blowing up, and we have the big, I even think it's the biggest Latino organization I don't know any bigger Latino organization than ours, let alone conservative ones that we've had. Because I even know there's a lot of other small conservative organizations, and I know most of the leaders of all of them, and they're all small, or they don't have no social media presence or like none of that. But we do. We're huge all over, and people love us because me and my team, we're just everyday Latinos. Like, we don't try to be all suit and tie, I went to Harvard, all perfect, and all this and that. We don't say that. We don't try to be act that. We just say, hey, we're just everyday Latinos. We love our country. We're against socialism, you know what I mean? And we love God. So that's what we push like that. We push Latinos to vote godly moral values. And my story starts when I grew up. I'm from La Puente, California, and I'm a Mexican, and I grew up as a child, every single male in my family was a gang member. So as I was growing up, my father, my uncles, my cousins, my brothers, every single male was a gang member. So I always grew up looking up to that. I always grew up on that. Was my goal since I could always remember, is to be in a gang and to be a gang member. And like how other kids maybe want to be a movie star or an athlete or something like that, or a singer or something like that. My dream and my goal was to be a gang member. That was what I always wanted to do. So I always got into a gang very young. And my team, my family, they had like a notorious or good reputation, whatever you want to call it, around my area where I was from. So I tried to earn my own name, because they were already the most feared and respected and whatever you wanted to say. So I was trying to earn my own name. So I was a little young, little kid, and I started doing a lot of shootings, doing a lot of gangbanging like that, whatever. So I got incarcerated at 16. They got me for 4 shootings. And that was just what they were charging me with. Yeah, I had did more shootings than that, but I was getting to, they got me. I was being charged with 4 shootings. So I went up to the youth authority. I don't know if who doesn't know about that, but in those days, whatever, they used to call it gladiator school. That was like every little worst gang member. That's the worst nightmare, is to go to the youth authority over here in California. That's how it was bad in those days. So they sent me there when I was 16. So when I was in there, it was all crazy old place and all that. So by the time I got out of there, I was all institutionalized. Like, I was kind of, even though I was a little gang member and all that, but I was still just a normal little kid, whatever. But by the time I got out of there, I was like a gangbanging machine. I didn't care about my family. I didn't care about nothing. All I cared about was the gang and gangbang. So being like that, I ended up calling shots for my neighborhood. I was like running everything. Like, I had the power. Like, I could tell my homeboys, you go do this shooting, go do whatever, and they'll have to do whatever I say. But I used to like to do shootings. That was my thing. I love shootings and I love guns and like that. So I used to go do the shootings. Yeah, even though I had the power to make them do it, I would say, no, I'm going to shoot out, because I was just me. That's how I ended up getting to the level where I was at. So being like that, my story starts. There's a lot more to it, but I'm trying to cut it short. But so how my story started, how I got saved, was I was working I was working with some older Christian men, and we were going to do a shooting that night, me and my homeboys. We had already had the guns, the stolen car, and all of that. My homeboys, they're waiting for me to get off of work, and we were going to go do another shooting. So I'm right there at work, and then my older boss, I'm working with some older Christian men, and he was an ex-gang member too. So as I'm right there working, I was a painter. We're painting, and he's sharing the gospel with me. And my whole life, I was raised Catholic and all that, right? So he's sharing the gospel with me. And like going to Catholic church and all that, my whole life, I made my first communion, all that, whatever. I never heard it the way he was telling me. And he was just sharing the gospel of Jesus, everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to him. That's why anybody listening, don't ever get discouraged if you're sharing with somebody and thinking that they're not hearing you, because at the time, he would have probably thought, this little knucklehead ain't listening to me because he's a little gang member. But I was. Mm-hmm. I heard what he was saying. So he's sharing with me, and I tell him, you know what? That sounds good. Maybe one day I'll go to church. Maybe if I ever get married or something like that, maybe I'll go to church. But I was like, but you know what? I don't even think I could be forgiven. I did too many things. I didn't tell him, as soon as I get off of work, I'm going to go do the shooting right now. But I just said, I don't want to be no hypocrite. I don't want to be a half-stepper. I'm not ready. But I told him, maybe one day I'll go to church. And then I said, but you know what? I don't think I could be forgiven. And then he told me, nah, you never heard the story about like King David in the Bible? And I was like, nah. And he was like, he was a great man of God, and he was sleeping with the soldier's wife, and he had a soldier killed. So he's like going and telling me. So I'm listening to him. I'm just like, all right. And then I go and I'm in one of the rooms, and I was a painter. So I was alone in a room, but I was painting. And at that time, I achieved the greatest that you could have hoped for in that lifestyle as a gang member and all that. I was running my neighborhood. I had the respect. I had women. I had everything. I still wasn't having, like, every little gang member, when they're getting to a gang or whatever, like their wildest dream, I achieved. Like, I was everything that you could hope for in that lifestyle. I was already achieved it. And I still wasn't happy. So I was right there. I thought about what he was saying. And then I prayed, but I didn't know how to pray. I just said, God, help me to change. And then sure enough, as soon as I got off of work, we did the shooting, boom, 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 boom. We got in a high-speed chase, and we were just high-speed chase. The cops were chasing us, and we crashed, boom. And then me and one of my homies got out of this side of the street, and then two of the other homies ran out the other side of the street. So me and this homie are running side by side, and then I forgot that I had my gun on me. So he tells me, hey, your gun. And when he tells me that, because we're running side by side, he runs the up running different for me. And the cop, wouldn't you know it, he's following me. So I'm running, and it was like a little hill. And as I'm running, I threw my gun, and I took a little tumble when I rode. But I was young and at that time and all that. I should have just been able to get up and start running like nothing. So I tumbled, and when I was on the floor, it was so weird what happened to me. I was on the floor and I was trying to get up, and my legs didn't work like exactly how they are right now. I don't know if it was like something was holding me down or something. It was something weird happened to me. I'm right there trying to get up, and my legs didn't work. I couldn't. I'm on the floor and I can't get up. So then the cop comes, handcuffs me and all that. And the cop says, get up. And he gets my gun and he puts it on top of the cop car. And he's like, get up. And I tell him, I can't. The cop's like, what do you mean you can't get up? I said, I don't know what's wrong with me, officer. My legs don't work. So then the cop picks me up, and as soon as he picked me up, my legs weren't normal. And so I was like, what the hell? That was so weird. But I didn't trip on it at the time. I didn't really trip on it too much because I was the only thing on my mind was, dang, I'm caught. I'm going to get life. Because I knew I already just did years for shooting. Then I got caught in the act and all that. So the only thing on my mind is like, dang, I'm going to get a bunch of years. I'm going to get life right now. So I didn't really pay attention. Like, dang, what happened? That was so weird. I couldn't walk right now or whatever. But so then I'm in the county jail, and I have 7 felonies in the county. I'm looking at life and all that in the county. And I thought about everything that that man was saying. So, again, I didn't know how to pray. But it's true that God knows your heart, because I prayed and I got saved that night. And I don't remember all I said. All I remember was I kept promising God, God, if you give me one more chance to get out, I promise I'll never touch a gun again. I'll never touch a gun again, because that was my thing. I loved guns and I love shootings and all that. And then the Bible's so true when it says, you'll explain that, but why you're supposed to never, you should never make promises to God and not keep them, because I promised God, give me one more chance and I'll never touch a gun again. I made that promise to God. So, so that night, okay, so I prayed and I must've got saved, cause like, I don't remember the words and all that, but I went to sleep. And then when I was asleep, something, I had a dream and something came in my dream. And I couldn't see what it was. Like, you know, you could just sense the evil and I could just see it was like something. It was like something, yeah. But I couldn't see the face. I couldn't see its face. But it was like some kind of creature or something. And it was like,
yeah, it was like an evil presence.
Yeah, it was some kind of an evil presence. Uh-huh. And it was furious. I could just even feel the, like the fierce anger. And it was like, in my dream, I was scared. But then I said, you know what, Jesus. And I said, Jesus forgave me. I just started saying Jesus to it. And once I said that, it left. And I woke up. And when I woke up, I was a totally different person. Totally. Like something dramatic had happened to me. But I didn't understand it because I didn't know nothing about God. Or I didn't know nothing about nothing. But I could feel it because I remember before that day, like just a regular 1 o'clock in the afternoon, just at any time, I used to get thoughts in my head. I'll think like, I could catch my enemies like this. I could run up on them and shoot them like this. And just doing things like that. And it used to worry me. I used to be like, man, what's wrong with me? How come all I ever think about is hurting people and doing stuff like that? Like, what's wrong with me? Like, what's, because all I'm telling you, all I used to get was thoughts on, maybe somebody else would get thoughts on women or something like that, but I would get on gangbang, like shooting my enemies and stuff like that. But so when I woke up and all that, after I prayed and all those thoughts were gone and just all inside everything, it was, I could feel something dramatic happened. Is I felt like clean, or I don't know, it's hard to describe. I just felt so different. I knew something had changed. And so I started reading my Bible. I started going to Bible studies right there in the county jail. And it was a trip because when I used to be in the youth authority and juvenile hall, I used to try to read my Bible. But it used to be boring to me. It was boring. I didn't understand it. It was like nothing to me. But after that night and after that, and I started reading my Bible, the Bible came alive to me. Not only did it come alive to me, I was hungry for it. So I was growing and I was learning and I was reading and I was growing, going to Bible studies. And so I was like learning like that. But the mistake that I made was I tried to walk on both sides of the fence. I tried to kick with all the fellas, all the guys in there, but then going to Bible studies and reading my Bible too. So, you know, that doesn't last very long because the reason I was doing that is because I had a lot of respect in there too. And I didn't want people to think that I picked up the Bible in jail and all of that. Plus, I didn't know nothing about nothing. I was just barely learning or whatever. But so I was like that. And like I said, so then I got blessed. I only got a few years. And so they sent me upstate to a level 3 yard. So on my first day on the yard, this is how the devil is. My first day, as soon as I get to that yard, like anybody who knows about prisons in California, level 3s and level 4s, that's the big times. That's where all the lifers and murderers, and you're under the gun at all times. And you get killed and whatever. When you come in, they make you sign. Where do you want your body to go if you get killed or whatever? Like, it's the big time, 3 and 4 yard. So they send me to a level 3 yard. And my first day on the yard, they were like, hey, we need you to do this. We got to rush these guys. You got to get them and this and this and that. So boom, boom, started getting fights, boom, boom, going to the hole. So I started like slowly but surely falling away from God. And then even the guys used to trip out on me in there because they'll see me on the yard and I'll be beating some guy down, boom, 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 or whatever. And then they'll see me and I'll be at Bible studies. So they'll be like, man, what's up with you? Hey, we see you on the yard beating people up, but then you're over there at church. And I'll tell them, you know what? You guys know what's up with me. I ain't scared or none of that, but I just choose to go to church. So the guys in there never told me nothing because I was doing a lot of stuff on the yard and all that. Mm-hmm. And so they never told me anything about going to church. So then the day I get out, all my homeboys are at my house. They had me a party. So it was all my homeboys and my family. They had me a party. And then so I was right there. And then my little youngsters, little homies, they were like, hey, we're so happy that you're out. The neighborhood hasn't been the same since you've been gone. We want you to run the hood again. And blah, blah, blah. They're telling me. And I try to tell them. I was like, nah, that's it for me. That's it. I'm done. And they're like, what? Man, you're just saying that because you're fresh out. You'll be back. You'll be back around. I was like, nah, that's it for me. I told him I want to go to church. And they got mad when I said that. They were all started arguing with me. So I'm arguing with all of them and my family. I'm arguing with all of them. And they're mad because I said I want to go to church. And then my own mother tells me, I'll disown you if you turn Christian, because my family hated. They hated Christians. They were all Catholics and all that. So they hated my family as I grew up and all that. They hated Christians. So my mother told me, I'll disown you if you turn Christian. So I had all of that. Plus, I was fresh out. You know what I mean? I wanted women. You know what I mean? One sin leads to another. Started messing around. And then, so it was a trick. Because remember that promise that I made you with God, right? So I was only out not that long. And then my little cousin came, and he gave me a gun. And as soon as I touched the gun, a few days later, I got shot. Remember, I told you, I promised God that I would never touch a gun again. So he came, got the gun. And then a few days later, I got shot. And then how I got shot was I got into it with some dude. And so I went to this guy's house, and I was just going to kick down his front door and go all up inside that guy's house and get him inside of his house. That's just a little glimpse of the type of person that I used to be, to just go to somebody's house, kick down their front door and go in their house and get him. That's how I was. I was a straight rider, whatever you want to call it. I was like straight gang man, crazy. Prison, crazy gang, is craziest gang member you would ever see. I was like that type of dude. And so I was kicking down the guy's front door. When I was kicking down his front door, he shot me, boom. He shot me out the side window. So I got hit, boom. And I took like two steps and I fell. And he was trying to shoot me some more, like boom, boom, boom. And I was trying to pull myself with my arm. I was pulling myself with my arms and he was shooting, boom, boom, boom. And then they picked me up and they took me to the car and they were like, what's up? There's like a lot more to this, my story, but I'm trying to cut it short. And they were like, what's wrong with you? And then, cause I had no blood or nothing. And they're like, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I think I'm shot. I can't feel my legs. Cause I had no blood or nothing like that. So then they lifted up my shirt and they were like, yeah, you're shot. And the reason I had no blood is because the bullet, it went through my lung and it went into my spine. So all my blood was going into my lung, and I was choking on my own blood. So as soon as they told me that I got shot, I got scared. And I was like, oh, man, I thought, oh, I'm going to die. You know what I mean? And plus, when you're living that lifestyle, I knew it was coming. You know what I mean? Like when you live by the sword or whatever, I knew I was probably going to die. Because even like I was talking to my dad before about one time, and he's like, hey, what are you going to do? Somebody, like, you're all like this and all that. I told him, don't worry about me. I'm going to end up dead or in jail. That's how I'm going to be like that. Yeah. I told my dad that. So I was always expecting it. So then when I was right there, I got scared when they said you're shot. I was thinking, dang. So I started telling myself, hang on for the ambulance. Hang on for the ambulance. So then the ambulance comes, boom, and the cops and the ambulance, they're all on me. They put an IV in me. And then, they're all talking, the cops and the ambulance, and they're like, he's not going to make it. His only chance is to call for the chopper. So they tell me, hey, we're calling the chopper. We're going to airlift you. Hang on and all that. So then I start telling myself, hang on for the chopper. Hang on for the chopper now. So I'm just like trying to like hang on for the chopper. So finally it comes, boom, the helicopter. They put me in the helicopter. We're flying. And as I'm flying, you could feel it. Like you could feel it when you're dying. Like I felt like if I was dying, like I was right there. I was like so scared and emotionally, physically, all like that. And I was choking on my own blood. And I got scared. The only thing on my mind was I'm going to go to hell, because I was thinking, remembering when I was in jail reading the Bible and going to Bible studies and all of that. And I knew I was just kicking down that guy's door. I was going to get him and all that, blah, blah, blah. So I just started calling out to Jesus. So, but I wasn't praying, like, God, help me to live, because I thought I was going to die at any second. It was only repentance. I was only repenting. It was only a repentance prayer. I was only, Jesus, forgive me that I fell away and just everything, blah, blah, blah. I was just calling out, praying to Jesus. I don't remember the words I was saying then either, but I just know I was repenting, basically, so I wouldn't go to hell. And it was a trip, because like I was all scared, dying and all like that. And once I started praying to Jesus, it's like I felt a wonderful peace came over me. Like I can't even describe it in words to you. It was like so comforted. And I've still never felt like that ever since that day. But I felt so at peace, and I was okay, not only emotionally, physically, all that. I was okay. And then ever since then, the Lord has just been using my life. But I always knew it from day one. I knew that the Lord was going to use me. I felt it. I always felt it instantly. I felt I was supposed to die, but I felt that God left me for a reason and he was going to use me. But I figured he was going to use me for a gang sin or something like that. That's what I was figuring. So the nurse came in my room one time and it was full of gang members. And they're like tripping out, like, what the heck? And they were saying, hey, we want to get, look at all the guys were saying, we're going to get the guy that shot you and all that. We're going to go get him and all this and this and that. And then I told them, no, let him go. They were like, what? What do you mean? Let him go? Forget him. And I said, no, I forgive him, man. I forgive the guy. Let him go. And then even the doctors were like amazed when they see me. They were like, man, we never seen a guy like you before, especially when they're young and we tell them they're never going to walk again. Usually we have to give them antidepressant medicines. But I was cool. Like the Lord gave me peace for my situation. I was like, how I am right now. So the doctor was like, can you go around the hospital and try to cheer up all the other patients? So I was all shot up in a wheelchair myself, but I was going around the hospital and I was trying to cheer up all the other patients. And a thing that helped me was I went to this one guy's, because I was like in a wing with a bunch of people in wheelchairs, like paralyzed people and all that. So I went and there was this guy and I went to his bed and somebody put a gun in his mouth and shot, boom. So his came out like way right here. So he was laying right there and he couldn't move anything at all. So he was just there. It would have been better if he died. He was just his eyes and then his mouth. And then not only that, his mouth was wired shut. So I'm right there and he couldn't move nothing and nothing. So I'm looking at this dude and I'm trying to like cheer him up. And I'm thinking, how can I complain? At least I can move my arms and all that. Look at this dude. There's always somebody that's worse off than your situation. You know what I mean? So that's why he gave me a whole outlook like I'm blessed to be alive or whatever like that. So then, as soon as I got out of the hospital, I started going into juvenile halls. I started going into juvenile halls, and I was doing Bible studies with all the little kids in the juvenile halls. And all the little kids loved me because I used to tell them I used to be like you little kids. I was in jail, youth authority, prison, gangs, all that. Whatever. So they used to like me. So I went from there. Then I started going into prisons. Then I started speaking at like car shows and at churches, different things. God was opening a lot of doors. And then speaking, I went to even a couple of schools, speaking for the kids at school, like middle school kids. And then I started sharing the gospel with a lot of my ex-gang member homeboys. So sharing with them. And then my whole family got saved. Like all my family, they're saved now. But none of it's me. Like none of it is like, I don't want to get it twisted. Like it's all God. God did all of it. He gets all the glory. But now my whole family's serving God. Not only they're saved, they're serving in their churches, like they're all soldiers for Christ now. And that was my story with that. And that's what I was doing. I was being a chaplain. So I started being a chaplain at a hospital. So I was going around. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to go around praying with all the rooms, all the patients, but I was going around sharing the gospel, bro. I wasn't even supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to just go and, hey, you guys need prayer, and then pray with them. But I was going to every one of them, sharing the gospel with them. I don't care if they're Muslim, whatever. They could be gay or whatever. And I was still in there and I was straight sharing the gospel with them. That's what I was doing in there. But I was doing that until I felt that the Lord called me to start Lexit. And then the Lexit is the Latino exit from the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I started it, we took off. Like, phew, we just started blowing up. And it's because I feel at Lexit because we put God first above all things. And then what prompted me to start it was because I was a Democrat. I was a lifelong Democrat. Like, as I was growing up, my family was all Democrats. You know how it is for Latinos and Blacks. That's how it is. Mm-hmm. So when I grew up, I told my family was like, we're Democrats. And then I was like, why are we Democrats? They said, because the Republicans are for like the rich whites and the Democrats are for like the minorities and the poor. So I grew up, okay, always thinking I was a Democrat. But so what changed me was when, as I started growing in my faith with the Lord and all that, so I started getting stronger in my walk, I just seen that going against all my godly moral values, especially what the last thing, like the straw that broke the camel, was when Obama started putting like men and women's restrooms and just like all the crap that he was doing that. And I was like, you know what? As a Christian, I can no longer support the Democrat Party as a Christian. You know what I mean? So that first I was angry. So when I had my anger towards them, I started doing my research, and that's when I seen that they founded the KKK and about Jim Crow and just like learning all the foul stuff about the Democrat Party. And I was like, wow, I never knew that. I never knew none of that. You know what I'm saying? They don't ever teach none of that in schools or none of that. So I was like that. And then when the election came for Trump, like I wasn't big on Trump. I didn't really know too much about him, none of that. I was for Cruz. I was going for Cruz. Yeah. I just knew that. I just knew Trump was better than Crooked Hillary. So I was going for so I went for Cruz, and then Trump was, so then Trump went. So I just went for Trump. I didn't have no expectations or nothing like that, but he was doing good. So when Trump came out, I liked everything that he was doing. He was doing good, and he was keeping all his promises to Christians in all ways, right? So then you might say that the fake media made Lexit or whatever, because they made me get involved. Like I was just like, you guys probably just a normal regular dude, and but I was just sick of seeing the fake media attacking Trump every single day, relentlessly propaganda on Trump every day, and I was just disgusted with it. So I was like, you know what, I gotta do something. And then I seen Candace Owens came out with Lexit. So then short told like De Pasuto and some other Latinos, I was like, you know what, we need to start one for Latinos, because a lot of Latinos where I know, where I'm at, and ones that I'd be around with, we're conservative and all that. So we're like, fake media and all, they're trying to be like, all the Latinos hate Trump and all this. And then I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about. We don't hate Trump. We like him. You know what I mean? We support him. Yeah. So we're against that. So then we started a Lexit. And like I said, it just blew up, and we were just, man, we were big. We started getting all big, and I started going across the nation speaking at things. Like, I was even at the White House 6 times. I met Trump, and I've been all over speaking. I spoke at Blexit. I spoke for Charlie Kirk at Turning Point 2 times. I was in PragerU. Like, just the Lord has just been using us. And like I say, I feel because at Lexit, like, there's other organizations, but nobody represents the gospel like us. Like we say, Alexa, you don't have to be Christian to be follow Alexa or be Alexa supporter, but we are, and we're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. We say it boldly, and we stand on the word of God. We will not compromise. We will not go against the word of God, and that's what we push that. And Phil, that's why I feel that God has been blessing us.
So, so when you do Alexa, I'm sure you guys do a lot of involvement with the politics now. So you have to select who Lexit is going to back as a candidate when they're coming up, right, for elections. And speaking of that, 2022 is going to be a huge year on elections with the midterms coming up. But you guys do a research, and you basically research. You basically, I'm guessing, I don't know this, I'm asking, I guess. You have a checklist, and from that checklist, you're going to be like, does this candidate check this box and that box and that box? And then based on that, you said, okay, we have this guy, and we're going to support this guy. We're going to go with this guy. And I'm guessing, you know, not everybody's going to fill every box, but, you know, someone's going to fill more boxes than others. And that's how you
choose. It depends on different situation. But yeah, it's like, to me, that's what pushes me. Like, everybody has a different issue. Like, somebody could be all pro Second Amendment or whatever it is, but mine is my faith. That's what moves me, is my faith. So that's very important. They have to be. I'll never vote in somebody that's not pro-life, and I'm against men and women's restrooms and all that kind of stuff. So it has to be a candidate. And then we've already endorsed a lot of candidates, and the other candidates have came to us, and like you said, sometimes we say no or whatever the case may be, because we don't care. Like, we don't care if the RNC tells us, hey, back this candidate or whatever. Like, I'll say, nah, we don't do that. We vote who we say. You know what I mean? We go who the Bible says. You know what I mean? We vote the Bible. Because I can say, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Biblican. I vote the Bible. You know what I mean? That's what moves me. Like, I don't want to say the names, but recently I had talked we had gotten into stuff over there when Bruce Jenner was running over here in California. They were trying to push him, and we were like, nah, we won't do it. We were like one of the hardest ones pushing back against that, and a big influencer. I'm not going to say his name, but he's one of the biggest. Everybody else on the phone with him, and then he was saying, oh, they're trying to back Jenner and all that. And I said, you know what? I don't even care if Trump himself calls me right now. I'll say, hell no, we won't do it. I obey God, and that's it. We're not going to back him. So we don't compromise. Like I said, we're not at the whim of the RNC or whoever. They tell GOP, tells, oh, this candidate. We're like, nah, we vote. We're going to roll with this candidate, whoever we think. Yeah. But like, if it's a primary, I mean, we're going to go with the godlier one all the time. You know what I'm saying? But then if it comes down to, we might, if it's only that, even if he's not all that great, but if he's against a Democrat, you know what I mean? Then we're going to go with the one that's better than a Democrat because they're totally evil. You know what I mean?
So this war is basically.
Huh?
The least wars, basically, sometimes.
Yeah, against a Democrat. But we're against rhinos, and that's another thing, too, is we push back. We hit rhinos. Like, we're equal opportunity. Like, we'll blast Republicans. If there's a Republican rhino or that ain't doing right, we'll blast them, too. We blast them. We call them out. We ain't scared, like I said, because we're not beholden to nobody. We'll call out. Mm. We call out whenever there's rhinos and all that, too. We call them out, and we won't back no rhinos.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I really like how you guys are taking a stand, not just, okay, we're going to be for the Republicans, but we're going to be for what the Bible says. And you're very focused on candidates who are going to go along with what the Word of God says and who are going to support that. And they're not just going to do what they think people want them to do.
Yeah, because I'm a conservative. Like I said, I don't think myself as a Republican. I'm pissed off at them. I'm real mad at them. A lot of people are pissed off at because they're not doing anything. And they stab Trump in the back and just in all ways. They just look at, pick an issue. You could say the border, the vaccine, the immigration, whatever. They ain't doing nothing. And so it's just frustrating. At that, that's why I'm more conservative. You know what I mean? That's what you're pushing it. So we vote policy. You know what I mean? That's what we vote on, not popularity.
Yeah, we're not even a year in right now. And I mean, gas prices are crazy and the economy is tanking so bad. And I'm like, man, and we still got like 3 years to go on this.
I don't know how we're going to make it, brother. I'm just waiting for Jesus.
Next year can be a game changer. You know, 2022, if we do it right, it can be a game changer. And then things might get a little better, you know.
I was going to say that's kind of what happened when Obama took office, too, is midterms came and then it changed some of the Congress and the Senate. And that caused a lot of what he was trying to do to not be able to happen, which could have actually put us in a really bad situation, much worse than it was. So maybe we can... Hopefully, we'll do something like that again midterms to help smooth some things out.
But we have to be real skeptical because so many times we've went for a Republican or whatever, and then they proven to be rhinos. They proven to be snakes. You know what I mean? So many times. So every candidate should be suspect. They should all, until they prove otherwise, that they're not a rhino, because so many times we'll be happy and then we're probably going to get in there and then they don't do anything, or they're rhinos, or they're backstabbing, like just doing terrible things like all the time. So until we know that they're not a rhino, then like that. But if they're good ones, and that's why if you ever see us pushing a candidate, just know that they're good. They're good ones and all that, because we do our due diligence and we won't back no rhinos and all that. We only back good candidates and we don't compromise.
Have you ever had a candidate that you backed without saying names, but have you ever had a candidate you backed up or you were about to back up and then you find out something about them that were hiding?
I don't think so.
That's good.
I think because they know. So a lot of those rhinos, they stay away because they know they're scared because we call them out. Like I said, we call them out. We ask them if they do and all that. So I don't know. No, we haven't. Most of the ones that came to us. And then, too, we'll say no. If a rhino won, we'll just, I won't say nothing bad. I'll just say no. We won't endorse you or whatever like that.
Yeah. So when you use the term rhino, can you kind of explain like what that means?
That's like it's Republican in name only, and it's just like the, well, I don't know if you know about. You can call them whatever you want. You can call them New World Order, Deep State, Globalist, Swamp, whatever name you want to give them. But to me, that's what it is. The New World Order kind of type of dudes. There's some of those are like. They're infiltrated, like, in the GOP. There's, I'd say, like, half of them are New World Order, too. So that's why you see how even with this jab and all, you see how, that's why, like, even probably they're tripping out. See how easily they're doing it? Because they ain't getting no pushback from the our side. They're not pushing back. Oh, but look at it. Biden's running buck wild, doing whatever he wants. And no pushback. Remember Trump? Any old little thing Trump was trying to do? Was like a big old hassle. He's trying to, you know, we activist judges, they were throwing the kitchen sink at stuff, trying to stop him and all. You look at Biden, he's just up there, no pushback, no nothing. Like, he's probably even tripping out, like, dang, it's even easier than I thought. Like, because, like I said, a lot of them are in cahoots with them. That's why when there is good candidates and whatever, everybody has to back them up, and you have to push for the get. We need to get real American first patriots in there.
Yeah, they're becoming more rare nowadays. Unfortunately, that's a difficult task nowadays. So if there is a candidate or candidate wannabe out there that wants to get the backing of Lexit, how do they reach out to you?
Just tell them to message me. Are you on IG? Just message us anywhere, Lexit Movement on IG, and on Facebook, we're a Real Lexit, and then on Getter, or Lexit, or on our website at lexitmovement.us.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they can find you. Okay, good. All right, hey, I had like tons of questions about your testimony and your mindset on all the different things you got. And I really enjoy talking to you, and there's so much we can talk about, but I want to narrow down the last few minutes we got on things that matter, that I think matter most right now, especially because we have an election year coming out next year. How can people get involved? I mean, you're talking about not giving pushback to, you know, President Biden right now, and all the things that he's doing and all the things that he's not doing too, because he promised a lot of things. You know, they always sell it to the Latino community by saying, we're going to help you with this. I remember him saying that within 100 days, all the Dreamers were going to be citizens or something. And I don't keep up on the politics too much, but I don't think that's happened yet. And he's been there for a year now. So, I mean, he's, you know, he's breaking all his promises too. So how can we get involved? How can we, you know, how can the Latino community get involved and say, hey, you know, you're lying to us. You say you're going to do this and you didn't do it. How do we do that?
Well, first off, all Latinos should stop watching those Spanish channels like Telemundo and all those, because the Spanish channels is just propaganda. It's just like CNN in Spanish or whatever. They're like, it's totally fake. That's why so many Latinos are getting manipulated, is because of these Spanish propaganda. So that's the first thing. And then also come in with us, because you could get involved, because we have chapters all over America. Just like, go to our website or message us on Instagram or whatever, and maybe join one of our chapters. And then also, too, there's a lot of patriots in all over the nation. There's a lot of different organizations and stuff like that are having rallies and anti-vax rallies or whatever it is. Go out and be involved, because a couple that I was at, it, there wasn't not many people there, and we're like, what the heck? You know what I'm saying? You see other countries, thousands of people out there protesting, but then it gets us mad because always on the internet, all the conservatives are yeah on the internet, but then we have an event and then they don't show up. You need to be out there involved. And then the biggest thing is too, is you should be talking to your family members and your coworkers, people at work. Like, stop being afraid to offend them or all want to talk about. We're way past that. America's about to fall. We're right now at the brink of communism. You know, America is. So screw all that. You need to start telling people, we're against. Look what they're pushing: communism. You know what I mean? Open borders, whatever. You need to say we're against these Democrats. You know what I mean? Now it's a battle. It's not even about Republican or Democrats. It's about good versus evil. So the people need to start speaking up and have those discussions. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people don't, like I said, don't want to talk about politics or religion or whatever, but you need to nowadays. Like, you know what I mean? What are you waiting for? If not now, when? This is, like I said, we're about at the brink, I think. We're about to lose America. Even like so many things, like they're pushing transgender crap and that in the schools, teaching kids and that about sex at kindergarten. Like, in all ways, you need to start speaking up. You know what I'm saying? This is it. So, like, that's why I said, if more Latinos start talking to their family members, you know what I'm saying, their coworkers, that's how it'll grow. And then they're going to be like, dang. Because they, like you said, the fake media, on them, they try to portray it as is, Latinos are all hate Trump or they're all whatever Democrats. So they have to see. That's why when they see me and like Lexi, because at Lexi, we have a good crew. I assembled like the best crew of influencers, and we have a bunch, and we all do videos. We're all pushing videos and pushing content and going against it. And they see us, like me, ex gang member from LA and all that, and he's conservative or whatever. So we're trying to like, see, we're pro life, you know what I mean? We're pro Second Amendment, we're against communism, you know what I mean? We start blah blah blah, and they see other Latinos, and then they're like, huh. Wow, this was an ex-gang member, you know what I mean? So that's why you need to start speaking out more, letting it be known that we're against that. And then, because we have they don't have no good arguments. You probably know that. Anytime you're talking to one, they're saying everything is just about race, everything. You're actually giving them truth and facts on everything, and everything goes back to race or feelings or race or, you know what I mean? And we have, so you should just be telling them, hey, like I said, I didn't know. So you're telling them what? And they say things about race. I say, what? You know that they founded the KKK, right? You know what I mean? They're like, what? Well, so don't even know. Like, I didn't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're the racist ones, eh? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so start giving them all the facts. And then just leave it alone. Just give them facts and all that, and you just plant a seed. You know what I mean? Just that's what we got to do. Just keep speaking out more and more and more.
Yeah. The big thing, too, I think that people need to stop focusing so much on race. Like, oh, I'm white or I'm Latino or I'm black, so I have to think this way. And you just need to think, hey, I'm a person. This is what I believe. This is what I think. Okay, now let me find somebody who believes a similar thing in politics, whether they be black or Asian or Latino, whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is what they believe. And that's what a lot of people need to get their head around is, I don't need to vote this way because I'm Latino. I need to vote this way because I believe this, 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 this. I think that's big thing that we need to help our families see, too.
Most Latinos are conservative. They just don't know it. So you even could go down the list with them, say, hey, you're pro-life and all that? Yeah. Oh, you're pro-Second Amendment? Yeah. You against men and women's restrooms and all that? Yes. You know what I'm saying? You're against open borders? Yes. Lower taxes? Right. Yeah. You know, like, do a list. Put all the things you like on this side and then things on the Democrat, and then see which side you align with, and then they're gonna they'll all see that they do. And then the only thing I'm saying is gonna say the race, all that, whatever crap, they're gonna say that. And I'll tell them, as far as I know, Trump did the most for Latinos than any president that I ever seen. He did them, and for Christians, you know what I mean? He kept all his promises to Christians, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about, you know what I mean? And then I'll tell them too, but yeah, the Republicans said they ain't all great too. There's a lot of whacked out ones of them too. We call out those ones too, but if there is good ones or, but to me, I just say, tell them that the Democrat Party, they're not even the same party as 5 years ago. They're, because I used to be a Democrat. They're totally nut, whacked out, communist, anti-God. You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, they're totally. That's why I tell them, even if you don't want to vote Republican or you can't, whatever, whatever, that's fine. Then just don't vote at all. Just don't vote for the Democrats then.
Yeah, and that's actually you hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned, and I love what you said about this is, you know, this is more about good and versus evil, because, you know, my podcast, this podcast, this is not about politics, but it is about God, it is about a better person, it is about a better community, and unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to see it, you know, politics influenced a lot on those aspects. So, you know, I am pro God. I am, you know, I stand for God. And a lot of the issues that we see in politics may not play in the Bible, but the issues, the main point, the main issues that we have seen recently not only play a point in the Bible, but they play against God. And that's what makes me say, okay, I gotta do something. I gotta stand up and I gotta say this is enough, because now it's not about, oh, immigration, this, you know, we're gonna help immigrants. Like, okay, whatever, you know, that's a topic that I can vote one way or the other, depending on what my needs are. But that plays no issues on the Bible, you know. But when we're talking about, you know, we gotta be able to change the sex on a man, and if he wants to be a woman, he can be a woman. Well, hold on a minute, because that is against God. God, it's explicit on the Bible that, you know, you cannot have a man marry another man. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this and you believe that, but my standing is with God every time, you know, without a shame. And now politics are playing directly into those issues. So now I have an issue with that. So now I'm like, okay, hold up. But we got to do something about this. And we got to get people involved. We got to get people to get out of their houses and vote. And you will not believe this, Jess, but people here in Alabama, not only we have a big community of Latinos here, but the Latinos that I have met in here, they're all conservatives, all of them. And they recognize it. They're not thinking they're conservatives or Democrats, that they recognize it. You know, I talked to them and many of them have gone to rallies, and many of them have gone out. They're active. And that's crazy, because this state, Alabama, was going to be the last state I thought that we were going to have a crowd like that. You know, like I will see it like more like California or, you know, Texas, you know, Florida. That's, you can see those movements happening there. But Alabama, man, we do have a crowd here. I seen him. I talked to those guys. Like I said, before we started recording this interview, I just met another person like that. He's on the brand new Space Force that we have that President Trump created. You know, there's a lot of people out there. And this issue on politics is an issue against God. This is an issue of good versus evil. And this show, we stand for the good of God, what God created. And therefore, we stand, you know, for what's right in politics, and not only in politics, but in our communities and at every level that you can think of. We're going to stand with God, and we're going to put God, and we're going to give him all the glory first and foremost. So, like I said, this is not about politics to me, but politics is infiltrating every single aspect of every life right now. So I do want to challenge all the people who's listening to us right now. Go out, get involved, be active. Check out Lexit. I'm going to be talking to Jesse after the show. We're going to see how we can get involved. I believe there's no chapter here in Alabama. We're going to be talking about how can we get that going. And if you're from Alabama, you're listening to the show, and you want to get involved with that, get with me. We'll get with Jesse. We'll talk about that some more. But for now, let's wrap this up, Jesse. What's your last message you want to give out on this show to the people who's listening to us?
Like you said, just get involved, because we're at Armageddon. This is crunch time. Like, America's about to fall. Like, you said, look at this havoc he's did in a year. It's been like 11 months. I don't know how we're going to survive three more years with these dudes in there. So we probably won't even, America, I think, won't even be recognizable by three more years. So we need to, you need to get involved. And if you don't, you need to get involved, because that's what people get mad when they see them pushing it in their schools and all that. That's why you need to get involved. Because, see, you're mad when they're pushing it. And it's too late then. You need to stand with us now. And I just wanted to say that. And then Latinos, you don't have to be Democrats.
Steven?
I just thank you, Jesse, for coming on. It's been really great to hear your testimony and also hear about Lexit. I was personally not very familiar with it, but I was really excited to hear about it. And I love what you guys are doing. And thank you so much for being on the show.
All right.
All right. All right. So if you want to connect with me directly, you already know how to do that. Just you can text me 334-568-8845. Again, my phone number is 334-568-8845. You can send me a message on WhatsApp or Signal, which is my preferred app to use. Or you can just send a text message. I don't take phone calls on that phone number. Just send me a text message and I'll reply to that. Or you can get to me on the social medias, but the best and easiest way is to just send me a text. And with that, I'll leave you guys alone. Thank you for listening in. God bless.